Hello, hello. I'm so excited to talk to you guys about one of the worst things I've ever done. This is really cool. So I'm going to kind of start off by just getting a feel for the room. I'm kind of the most Dayton person ever. Like, ever. So this is what I want you to do. This is going to be awkward, but I don't know you. There's a weird, like, light on my face. I have the Beatles back here off of, the, like and Hendrix. And so it's like, yeah, let's just, like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is weird. So, okay. So, really quick, I just want to, like, name a bit about, like, my life so you get a feel for, like, who I am. And if, like, somehow a thing that I says applies to you, just cheer or clap. Just, like, get out of your shell for a bit. I get it. Like, just get, like, uncomfortable. We're from Dayton. Some people are just like, oh, I'm weird. Get over it, okay? So, I went to Corpus Christi parish my entire life. Yeah, I was in the weird charismatic group there as a kid. There you go. Yeah, weird charismatics. We got tons of stories. It's totally normal to, like, fake being slain in the spirit, as I did when I was 12. That's a true story. I moved to Oakwood, and with a one-year stint in Beaver Creek. Yeah, there you go. There's no one from Oakwood here. What the heck? I said, heck, I'm really gonna watch my language. You've heard the podcast. You know how hard that is. So the girl that I dated in high school went to Altar. Whatever. Get over high school, okay? But besides my good friends at Oakwood, my best friend went to CJ. And then my other best friend was a huge nerd who went to Dayton Christian. And I went to, like, prom. Oh, no one said that, huh? A whole lot of Catholics here, obviously. No one went to Dayton Christian because no one really believes. And then heaven forbid we go to a school where we're formed to evangelize. Dayton Christian back in the day was real big on evangelization. I don't know how they are now. So I worked at, like, Doors Lane Market, the greatest place ever. What the heck? None of you know what that is. What is wrong with that? Yeah, so anyways, I love being from Dayton, Ohio. People, when, like, you grow up here, you, like, dream of, like, leaving, and I did. And it was great. But I found that I love being from here, and people who don't think flight was actually invented here is full of it. And I've never, yeah, right? Like, screw you, North Carolina. I get so mad about that. Like, I was known as that guy in college. Like, hey, if you want to look, like, really mad, really, just, it's very easy. Just talk about North Carolina. And I'd be like, yeah, you know what? They suck. They're liars. It was a huge thing. I get really angry about it. First in flight, my butt. All right. Okay, so now I need to stop saying jokes that are kind of halfway funny and talk about the worst thing that I ever did. All right. Okay, so I wanted to, tonight is going to be a little bit, like, odd. So from what I understand, I have about, like, a half hour. I have no clock on me, so we'll see how this goes. And they're going to do Q&A. I love Q&A. So I'm going to get to that as fast as I can, because that's where I kind of, like, shine, because I'm not good at pre-prepared stuff, because I'm lazy. So I want to talk about what is it like to, like, be like, God, like, why? Like, why? Like, this stinks. This sucks. I'm going to do my best to not curse. I'm going to try so hard. So you're welcome if, like, I can do it. But, like, sometimes, like, I think we have this thing where we're like, I should pray first. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, thank you for just the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of your Catholic Church. Thank you for everyone that is currently in this, like, room. I just ask that you, like, please send your Holy Spirit down upon this room, that the words that come out of my mouth just are able to glorify you, and that Christ is shown in everything that goes on here tonight. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. St. John Paul II, pray for us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So if I seem a little bit off, I was just out in D.C. All of the adult people, we went there to talk about things, not do anything. But we had some really great chats. That's what, like, bureaucracy does. You talk, not a lot of action. It's a funny joke that no one's laughing at. I'm sorry, everyone. There's going to be a whole lot of this, okay? Let's just get used to it. And it was really cool. And I met with people from all over the country who basically have jobs like me. And we talked about, like, what we were doing. And I was able to pray by this, like, great, like, relic of John Paul II's blood. And I was like, how Catholic is this? I'm praying, like, by blood, like, to blood. It's super awesome. So if I seem odd, it's because I was, like, up late trying to, like, build a bunch of bridges that I burned based on, like, a podcast I did. So, yeah, it was that one, everyone. So, and I just got back from like a plane and it was exhausting. So, good luck. I want to get awkward. I want to really unpack a thing with you guys because I think we have to like to talk about. If you're over the age of 25 and haven't been disappointed by God, live a little. I mean really serious. Like, live a little. Like, don't, like, if you haven't had issues, if you haven't been like, God, this sucks. Like, my dad's dead. Like, God, this sucks. Like, I got dumped. We were engaged. Or, God, this is bad. Like, this is really, really bad. Like, where are you? If you haven't been in that point yet, ask yourself why. And I want to talk to you about, like, those points in my life and how it kind of came to a head about 3 years ago. So I'm a millennial. How many of you, I think you're all under the age of, like, 28, right? Like, cheer if you're under the age of, like, 28. Woo! Okay, cheer if you're over that. Okay, a few of you. So, okay, so do you guys remember how bad 2008 was? Like, it was really, really bad. And I went to a school that I really love, but we kind of have this thing where, like, everything's going to work out because God, yay! And then 2008 happened, and I was like, no, it's not! Oh, my gosh, I am without a job. And, like, the economy tanked. This is right before we, like, found out that it did. And so this is going to, like, age me. How many of you guys remember getting, like, Righteous B? Yeah, vaguely, yeah. So I decided it'd be really cool to work for a Catholic record label out of college because Steubenville. And I like working with him. And I remember we had to like stop it because you all stopped buying like albums because people stopped buying albums right around that point in time. And I was like, okay, God, you've got a plan. I just gave up like a year of my life to this, but you have a plan. And then I was applying for like jobs, two job interviews, just like had like a phone call at a Catholic school. They did not call me back. Like we like had the chance. Sorry, we were like supposed to like have the phone interview and they just never called me. It was really weird. Like, that's not Catholic. And then I moved to like Washington, D.C., where I just was. And getting a job was, like, really hard. And I was like, God, I thought I was doing what you wanted me to do. Why is this so tough? And then I was hired to work on this huge campaign that I was really pumped about. And they lost all of their money. And I'm like, what? I was out of a job before I even, like, started the job. I was hired. And then it was, like, gone. And then I was applying for this school, and I was about to go to the last round out in D.C., and they just stopped hiring. And I was like, what is going on? And then I have really just kind of felt like God was like, hey, sorry, you just tried to do some good stuff, but, like, you're an idiot, so have fun. And I was like, where are you in this? Like, this, I have some student loans. This is kind of tough. And it ended up I had to leave D.C. All my friends there, this community I'd built, and I it felt like crap. It really, I can honestly remember praying a really quick like novena, and then right when I was done, I got a call to like interview for this great job that I then did not get. You know, and I mean, I'm talking like right as I was done, the phone rang, and I was like, oh yeah, that's the stupid little stuff I'm talking about. And I picked it up, and it was like nothing. And it was an interview. And then it led up to nothing. I'm like, where? Okay, it's cool. Like, this is getting really odd. I'm sweating because hold on a second, because I'm from Dayton, and I sweat a lot, okay? It's just what I do. So this ultimately resolved itself with me crying with 20 Asian high school kids. I'll tell you why. That's a true story. But, I mean, like, just, like, try to imagine being 25, you think you're doing God's will, and it's gonna, like, be hard, but it's going to, like, work out, and it doesn't, like, really badly. And then I come home, and I'm on the corner of, like, Hathaway and, like, East Drive out in Oakwood, which no one knows what that is, so I don't know why I just brought it up. I felt God. So I got hired for a job out in the middle of nowhere, and I was about to, like, drive out there, and I was poor. I'm talking, like, poor, poor. I didn't have a cell phone poor, okay? Like, really bad. And I just kind of felt God say, don't drive out there. Give your car to your sister and, like, let your parents, like, buy, like, a plane ticket. And I was like, okay, that's weird. But it was, like, so – it was, like, just in my gut. I knew this was what God, like, wanted me to do. And then a week later, my dad died, like, out of the blue – out of, like, nowhere. And had I not had I like not taken my parents up on that offer, I would have been in the middle of like, nowhere driving across the country with like no way to get in touch with my family. And the crazy part was like I've never felt God more in my entire life than that like week. I can actually remember being at a field right over there and being like on the phone with a couple of my friends and then being like, hey Luke, like why are you not having an emotional breakdown because I'm a little hyperbolic? And they were like shocked. And I pretty much said, I don't know. I don't know why I'm not like falling apart. I got choked up when the U.S. got like knocked out of the World Cup qualifiers. Like I had to call my wife and she goes, are you crying? I was like, no, like I'm that guy, okay? And I don't know. I can't explain what happened. God somehow was like, I got you right now. And like everything else was here, like really bad. I was having them to move to a place where I didn't know anyone. And I was angry. And I was like, why are my friends experiencing great community? And I'm stuck in like Eureka, California, which is drive across and go to your bridge straight for about five hours. And you're in the middle of nowhere. And all my friends are like, I mean, but here's the weird thing. Was that somehow God still like worked, and the job that I had after about like 3 years there, I can remember like hanging out. It was crazy to see the impact I had on those kids and how God actually like worked, and that it was hard for me to be able to step back and see the like and see the on the bigger picture because when we are like young, I think we have a temptation to think like this is it. This is all that I have. I can't see past this. And it's as I've gotten like older, God has really kind of said, hey, idiot, take a step back. Look at the bigger picture of what's going on here. The impact I was able to have on those like kids. So I worked in a dorm that had high school kids from Eastern Asia, specifically China. And they basically kept this like school open in the middle of nowhere. And we had spent like 3 years in the dorm, and when it was finally time to like say goodbye at the end of the year, these kids were like, I started to cry, the kids started to cry, and I was like, this is why I had, like, God worked. Like, it was hard to move past it, but then God really did like work. And so it was an incredible, I wouldn't trade that in for anything, even though I feel like I missed out on like, I'm a part of my 20s, because I'm not kidding, I lived in a dorm with a bunch of high school kids, super weird. I've got crazy stories, like really weird things. Sorry, I'm kind of starting to blab. So how did I get to this point where I had an emotional breakdown and told God that I hated him? So I moved to Idaho and did some really cool things there. And I did it to like further my career. And I had an opportunity for a really great job back in my old school in California or to move out to Denver. And I was like, you know, God, I'm really tired of... I'm tired of being alone. I've been in really small towns. It's not easy to date in small towns because it's boring and there's nothing to do. And I was like, I just want to go to Denver and just like be like a normal, person. I turned down this great job and I moved there. And when you move to a place without a job, especially when you're 30, kind of sucks. It's not really a good idea. And it was really hard, especially I was going to a place where 3,000 people were going there every month. So I'm competing with a crazy job market. And at that time, it wasn't really keeping up. And when your like background's Catholic education, you're not really qualified to work at like a tech startup. It's kind of weird, like that, which is all Denver is. And I felt the call to go in the ministry. And I was like, are you bleepity kidding me? Like, going in the ministry, that pays $25,000 a year. I'd like to pay off my student loans. I wasn't talking to God, more kind of just like myself, because I knew what the Lord was really asking me. And I prayed in Ovina about it, and the next day I was called to ask to come to the Archdiocese, like back home. And I was like, are you joking? I never thought I would have come back home, but I will for this job to do it there. And I worked with a guy named like Brad Bursa and Sean Ader, two friends of mine from like different times in my life. And I'm like, how do they know each other? That's very odd. And but it was weird because I was doing a job that had not really been defined. And I had given up 2 years of my life going to like Idaho in a really small town. This is going to sound like I'm trying to brag, but I'm not. But I basically like saved a school from collapsing. Like, it's open today and it's like a Catholic school because of the stuff that I did. And that's just the reality. And I'm not saying that I'm good. I'm just saying that's just kind of like what, and it's why I went there to do that. And I remember as I started my job here, I was like, okay, I feel like I'm prepared to do, like, I've been, like, this is, it's all trying to build towards, like, this moment here. And I got here, and there was no community at all. And I was coming from Denver, where it was just, like, nonstop fun. And I was here, and I was like, wow, there isn't a thing to do. And all my family's gone, and my dad's dead, and I'm home. I'm having to, like, confront the fact that this isn't home anymore. That, like, when I go here for a meeting, I can't go home because home doesn't exist. And, like, all my family's gone now, and I'm just like, what is happening? And then my job goes from doing this really cool, fun, hard stuff to make sure we have enough, a pizza for Encounter. And I'm like, are you okay? And then it just was like that, like, over and over and over again. And what happened was it was death by, like, 1,000 paper cuts. And I started to realize that, like, so I had some stuff going on that was really, like, God was kind of like, let's just, like, I want to get to this stuff. I'm like, nope, that is, like, off limits. I don't want to go there. And he kept kind of, I think he was saying, you kind of have to. And I kept kind of holding God at, like, you know, arm's length. And I was doing these things that really just felt like, I didn't go to Idaho to come here to, like run Abide and make sure we had water for the team to add, like, Abide. As fun as that, like, was, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, but it was just really odd going from this thing where, like, you're, like, you know, keeping a school open. I'm like I raised over, like, $100,000 in like a year, and I, like, all this like cool stuff happened, and I was having to go, do we have the buses? Check. And I was like, am I dead inside? Check. You know, and so we have this event that we did. And it was over at the seminary, and I had to make the program. And if you know anything about me, I don't do graphic design at all. I'm kind of a verbal processor, okay? Like, this is me just getting stuff out. There's no plan for this. That was a joke. So I'm there, and I, like, the program sucked. It was really bad because I'm not artistic like that. And I had to print off comp line. I didn't know what comp line meant. I was a history major, not a theology major, and I skipped a lot of my theology classes because it was college. And I can kind of remember, like, Father, like, Ethan Moore at the time, he was a deacon, and he goes, oh, like, this is not right. And I was like, wait, what do you mean it's not right? It's the, like, liturgy of the hours. I went, like, and he goes, no, this isn't right. And I'm like, I just was like, I'm done. Like, I how did I go from, like, I'm, like, running a school to having to, like, design a program for an event that, like, 20 people are going to? Like, what is this? Like, and I don't even know what I'm doing. And while I was there, one of my friends, he is a deacon. He started to talk about, like, how has God, like, worked in your life? And he went on and on, and I was like, God's not working in my life. And I was like, and I can't do a thing about it. I can't leave. I'm stuck. I'm, like, stuck here. At the time, Anna and I were still engaged. Like, surely I'm freak out if I say, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I'm out in Dayton. I'm Cincinnati, all alone. I've got a podcast now that I'm doing that's great, but if I don't believe, how can I do a Catholic podcast? I'm stuck here, and I'm begging God to work. I remember I felt like an abused spouse. I know it sounds odd, but I feel like I just got in the crap kick. I mean, I had gone to a place where there was no one, and I'm an extreme extrovert who doesn't like going outside. And I was in a place where the only, like, fun stuff to do was to go, like, hiking, and I would rather die. You know, like, it's just, I don't hike. Look at me. This is not a hiking body, okay? This is you're in shape in high school. Good job. You know, like, that's who I, you know, I like comedy shows, and I like art, and I like going to plays, and I'm kind of like a cultural, like, dude, and not that going outside's bad, but I could care less, and that's, like all there was. And I was stuck there, and it was great, but I thought I was there I thought that there was a plan, and it felt like God was like, I just used you. Oh, man, you're stuck here, and you're dead inside again. And I remember just being like, what? Like, what? And that's when I said, I was like, God, like, I hate this. I hate this. And I said, I hate you. I hate that I'm stuck here. I hate that I'm working. I hate that my job is, like, get the pizza guy. You know, like, that's not what I do. That's not, like, it was so, and it sounds kind of dumb to have a fit over this. But it was where I was, and I got up and I said, I'm done. There isn't a thing left for me here to do. I don't have to be responsible for anything. I'm done. I don't want to act like I want to be here. So I'm going to go. And I basically got in my car, and I left, and I felt God say, dude, right now, get your butt back in confession, like, into confession right now. Like, God kind of goes, do this right now, Luke, right now. That's how, like, he speaks to me, okay? It's not like a, and then in my heart, it's like, hey, idiot, this thing right now, do that. And I was like, fine. And so, like, I go there, I'm like, but I'm going to be really honest. I don't give a crap, like, what he, you know, I mean, I was like, I'm going to say exactly what I, like, told you. And I'm, you know, and this poor, like, priest, he's just, like, you know, expecting, like, nice, I'm only Catholics to come in and be like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And here's me going, I'm a mess. And I basically told him, like, everything. And he goes, okay, so how is doing any of that going to solve any of your problems? And I was like, it's not. And he goes, have you ever thought that, like, some of this just might be your cross for right now? And there might be other things, again, that kind of, like, step back to say, what do you have to endure for? And I was like, you're right. And what I really started to see after that point in time was I needed healing. I was keeping God like this because there wasn't really anywhere else to go besides going to, like, the deep parts of my heart and say, Luke, you gotta, like, bring these, you need healing from these things. You have to allow the gospel to impact your life in a real concrete way. The healing can come in the form of going to counseling. It can come in the form of, like, reading a book. There's all, it's, you know, and, like, when we're, like, healed, it's something, and I'm still trying to understand this, so if I'm wrong, please correct me, people with theology degrees. I feel like when we're, like, healed, it's either, like, we restored or we are redeemed. And I'm sure there are other parts, but those are kind of two different things. Like, when Christ, when he, like, as, like, resurrects, he still, like, has the wounds. They're there, but they've been conquered. But they're there. And in a sense, like, you can see, like, that happened. That's not going to change. That's not going away. And then there are, like, times when, like, our wounds, things are, like, restored. You know, like, have the blind man who was in, like, you know, like able to see. And I think for me, I'm still trying to, like, process this. I think I needed to be restored a little bit. There was a part of me that it just was, like, broken down through, like, a lot of bad relationships, through, you know, going through, like, a hard, going through, like, recession sucks, guys. It's really bad. Like, I was really blessed to have a good job, but it still is crazy. I remember, like, I had to, like, apply for this, like, one job. There were 325 applicants for one job that paid $32,000 a year for a weird Catholic company that doesn't even exist anymore. 325. Like, it was bad and it was hard. And we can never escape the cross. What am I trying to say here? Chris, it's not about things that are, like, easy. It's about things that are good. And you cannot escape pain. No matter how hard you might try, bad things, people in your life are going to die. Like, it's going to happen. Like, I had to watch my sister, like, basically, like, I, like put her head on my, like, on my dad's body and just kind of be like, she was in high school and having to just to deal with, like, her dad being dead. That image haunts me, and it still does to this day. But that's life. And God can actually work through these things, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to happen. Like, the cross happened. And the beautiful part about the cross is that you actually, like, have the resurrection come out of it. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. And when we keep God at, like, arm's length, when we don't want to, like, embrace the pain in your life, I'm not saying stay there, but you have to at least acknowledge it. Kind of like the guy who's like where all of his friends break, like, open the roof and he, like, drops down. And Christ says, like, be like, you know, get up off of your mat and walk. He had to acknowledge that he was broken. That is bad. That there was a problem. And I think for me, I was at a point where I didn't want to acknowledge that I had a whole bunch of problems because your 20s are freaking hard, you know, and I hadn't dealt with it. And God was like, the bill comes due always, you know, like that'll make sense in about a year. That was from a movie that came out like a year afterwards. So I guess that's all that I'm trying to say here is that if I reach that point, and I'm not proud of what I said, but I'm glad that I experienced it, if that makes sense. And if we aren't willing to say, God, this is wrong, I'm hurt, this is really like screwed up, how can we allow God to actually like fix? Because God wants to heal all of us. Like, and that, again, healing comes in different forms. I'm not trying to say like all of a sudden everything is going to be fine. It does happen. That hasn't been the case in like my life for the most part. But God does want you to, God does want to like heal us. And if we don't really go there, we're gonna be stuck. And that leads to like anger and frustration. Cause that's where I was mad, I was stuck. So, okay, I'm done. We'll do the Q&A part. I hope this made sense. How was like Abby? Bad, good? It was all right? Okay, good. Yeah, I need that. I have a very fragile like ego. Thank you. Thanks, Father. All right, I want to start with this. What do you mean by healing? What are some concrete things that a person could do? Okay, so healing is this. When like I'm like broken and now I'm not in this area where there is pain and now there's some form of like acceptance or like understanding, peace and love, or like things are kind of like put back together a bit. I'll make sure that I really answer this. So like, what are some concrete things you can do? If you're over the age of like 25 and haven't gone to counseling yet, it's time. Just go. Like we're all like narcissists. We all grew up in a crazy pornified culture. You cannot tell me that you like going to high school with like access to like Instagram that you're not screwed up. So it's just not possible. We all are broken. That's a really great way. Read good books. That really does help as well. Just because like at times all we need is just some profound insight or just a way to, oh, I never thought about that. Listen to Catching Foxes. It's a podcast I heard that's really good. Patreon.com/CF. I want money because I don't want a real job. I want that Matt Fred life. All right. That's an inside. I'm Catholic joke. I am so sorry to everyone in the back who's like, boo. Okay. So like reading good books does help. If you feel like you want to grow in your Catholic faith and you're not being like discipled by anyone, that's kind of on you. We have this weird thing where I think sometimes we expect like others to come and like disciple me, but like I don't disciple anyone who doesn't want to be, who's not gonna, or I don't mentor anyone who like really doesn't want to like be mentored. So like seek that out, find a person that like you think is like kind of like in their faith and really cool, and be like, hey Luke, can we like meet and talk for it? I just like, you know, have some questions. Healing can like in like really small ways can come about through that. And this will be the last thing I'll say about this. Be for some other. Go and be, like, profound healing comes in some really interesting ways when we just go out and are for others. So how can you do that? You guys have tons of time. I don't know. Like, who here isn't married? Scream. Yeah, so that's, like, a lot of you. You have a crap load of time. I hate you. Like, so much. Well, you don't, Father, but because you're a priest and you have a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, what am I trying to say? A great way to be for the other is be one of those people who brings the Eucharist to people who are sick. Like, go and get off your butt and go and do that. It takes an hour a week. You'll be fine. You have the time. That's a great way to be for some other. Go out and, like, talk to the homeless. Like, just hang out and, like, talk to them. Learn their name. Take, like, 5 minutes. Talk to the person at work who's freaking weird. It's weird. I can be that person. I'm like, you're talking because I'm weird, aren't you? Find a way to really be for the other and do not count the cost. Healing can come about through that in really small ways. Go and volunteer. Just go and do something that isn't about you. Take like 5 minutes, not hashtag anything, Sarah, you know, and just go and like do something. And now it could be any Sarah. Inside joke, inside work. That was a joke between me and Sarah. I apologize, everyone. Okay, I'm done. Next one. What are some specific areas that people need? Where do people need healing in today's culture? Porn. I'm so sorry, guys, but you all grew up in a pornified culture. It was not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault that however you first like saw it. That's not your fault, but I would imagine 80-90% of the people in this room have been impacted in some way, whether it's through like a parent, whether it's through like a person you dated, whether it's through your own life and your like own exposure, porn. Find healing, please. I am begging you. Talk to people. That's why you can't see God. Like if you have like a porn thing going on, like I just don't really like see God. That's why, because who's able to see God? The pure of heart. If you have like a porn addiction, it can be really hard to do that. And I just don't see how you can grow up. And if you were born after 83, I assume you've seen porn at least once. I just don't see how it's possible for you to not. Like I really honestly don't. That is the biggest thing by far, hands down, bar none. Now there are like other things that are very huge, especially like how our relationships have, you know, impacted us. We live in a like broken world, and we live in a world where culture exists for a like reason. They didn't just like do things to be a bunch of douches. Like there are like reasons why people did or why they had these norms, because it like. It kind of helped like good things be good, I guess, and that's kind of all. And like right now, it's just all like who knows what. And so what you have is like a bunch of brokenness, And so like how have the relationships in your life? I think that too. How has that damaged me? And that's where I think you really need counseling. A lot is that, I think what most people want, they tend to think, oh, if I'm really into my Catholic faith, I need to go to spiritual. Direction, which is good, but no, you don't. You just need a mentor, and you probably need a bit of counseling. And then once you have like a prayer life, and you're starting to like, you know, like grow a bit, and you see like other areas where God can speak, then you have a spiritual director. But for the bulk of it, I think we need mentors, and we need to go to. I know it sounds odd, but like, and if you need like help with that, there's some really great. Catholic things out there that are super cheap that I would love to talk to you guys about. I'm pretty sure still exist. So porn, and it sounds weird to say on a mic out loud, especially down here. You really haven't lived until you've been the awkward guy standing outside of the porn store down there, because all your high school friends are just like inside, and you're like, well, I didn't thought I'd be standing outside tonight, but here I am. It's great. It's a joke. I mean, it did happen, but like, it's impacted everyone. I don't see how, if you've seen it and you haven't, can't say that I've been, if you can't point toward the fact that you've been like healed from that, you haven't been then. It's impacting your own psyche somehow. Like it's a big deal. Probably the best place to go and find out stuff about that is the Integrity Restored. Or the Love People use Things podcast by Matt Fratt. We're about to have more stuff in the like Archdiocese, but we're about like a year off from that really being a thing. But it is going to come. I've been blabbing. Let's move on. Okay, I gave a bunch of examples about hearing calls to do stuff, some long term, some short term. Which of these do I find easier to execute? Is either more important to you than the other? Oh, this is good. Okay, so like, but like long-term stuff, you know, we're talking about like going to a place to like get a job, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, short-term going to confession. This is a good job. Whoever wrote this. Which one is, like, easiest to execute? Everyone is different. I'm a shoot first, ask questions later kind of a guy. I will just do anything, like, sure, and never think twice about it. Like, I'll sign that, like, I'm alone thing for $18,000. Who cares? Free car! That's what 2001 was like. It was crazy. Like, they were giving out, like, $80,000 loans to 18-year-olds. And I was like, sure. Who doesn't love a 2001 Honda? Turns out now, no one. Short-term stuff is, like, going to confession is super important. Especially, like, I mean, that is, like, that's what do the sacraments, like, do? Elevate and they heal. So if you are in a place where you really need, if you really need healing, especially from a past sin, and you're not in a state of grace, go. They're both important. Like, the short-term stuff is extremely important, but the long-term stuff as well, it is good to kind of have a plan. That's where, like, I lack, because I love not having a plan. It's super fun. I love working in a restaurant where it's just, like, crazy, all stuff all the time. Like, who knows what is going to happen? I love it. It's the best. I prefer, I love being at, like, schools where they're about to, like, close down. I think that is so thrilling. I don't like being in a place where it's like, let's just, like, have the assembly today. I'm like, I'd rather die. Instead, I'm like, let's beg people to, like, keep it open. And if it's fine, it's like, well, that's boring. What am I trying to say here? Having a plan is really, I think that is kind of hard to do, especially if you are like me. That's where I have to die a bit to myself. But the other side of that is some people where we like plan too much, it can kind of become too hard to act. And like acting is really important as well. So like really have long-term stuff in mind, have a goal, have a plan. Work your plan, and don't be scared of when things screw up. Because again, take that step back and be able to see the huge thing. God does work, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's like I don't know where God was. It's kind of there, and it can take like years, and we might not know until we're dead. But that's what faith is as well. There are things that I've done where I've just been like, I cannot believe that this like was this. What was the point of this? And I just had a girl I have this podcast. I think it's okay. At times, I think it sucks because I'm like way too, I'm self-righteous. And this girl last night stopped me in the hallway and is like, because of your podcast, I'm still Catholic. I was about to quit and just walk away. And I heard you, and I just, through like hearing 140 episodes of ours for some odd reason, this poor girl heard all of them. And she's like, I decided to stay Catholic. And I was like, oh my gosh, this thing that like, at times I'm like, what is the point of this? Like, you never know what God is going to do. And this is like a nice girl who's like not screwed up like me and everyone else who listens to our podcast. So, all right. I tried to answer that the best I could. We'll see. I tend to find a rational explanation for most things in the world without acknowledging God's plan. How can I welcome God more into my life when my natural inclination is to not feel like I need his involvement? So it's very easy. So I guess what this person is asking is like, if I feel like I don't need God, what do I do to like realize that like I need God? You need to seek him because it's very easy to keep God at arm's length or to be just like busy enough that I'm good. You get a good job, you've got a good place, if you have a spouse or a good vocation, like things are kind of good. That's when it's easiest to kind of like think, oh, I'm fine. If that's kind of your natural thing, it's just like not really like seek God, you have to just, this is what I would say to do. Take every day and just be quiet for like a minute. And kind of like add on that a bit, and just take one or like 1 to 2 minutes a day, and just be quiet. That's where God is like in. God is profoundly in the silence of our lives, in like really cool ways. And so that's a good way to just stop and say, God, this is where you are. I'm just gonna like be quiet here for a bit, And it's just, you're going to start to see God more, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? Yeah? Sure? Yeah? This light is just, I'm killing with this, like, sweater. I'm so sorry, everyone, right here. I curse a lot to myself. Yes! Not at people, but I kind of enjoy cursing. I love you, whoever wrote this. Do you think God minds? Ooh, okay. Do you think so? The old I'm a cursing thing. I love this. If it's gratuitous, yes. If it's the GD word, yes. That is the worst thing a person can possibly say, in my opinion. There's one other word that I really don't unlike, but that to me is like worse than the F word. But if you're doing it because you think it's like hilarious and it's just like doesn't have a point, I guess that can be like a bit much. And especially the context as well. So like a thing like this, I always like to throw in the like fun curse word, but like I don't know half of you and I don't want to like offend you nor do I want to cause scandal. On my podcast, it's got an explicit tag. And we try to not do it, and there are times when I do it because it's funny. But we do it when we feel like we want to get a point across, and it just kind of gets it across. I wouldn't curse on our podcast if that tag was not there, because I don't want people to like be in their car with their kids, and all of a sudden I'm like, you know, like effing sucks the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're all like, what? My kids heard this. I'm like, joke's on you, like. I mean, also, yes, I get, this has happened, if you can't tell. I'm like, I was in the car with my kids, and you said, I'm like, did you read the thing about the pot? Like, it literally says, like, we say stupid crap on here. Don't listen with kids. Context and your intent. What is the weirdest moment you experienced with the Chinese students? All right, we're gonna do this. All right, and I told my boss about this. Okay, so everyone knows this is he's like Virtue says like no issue. There was this kid, I'm not gonna say his name, but there was this kid. He's like a weird kid, but a good kid. I really loved him. He had a rash, and he comes in the room at like 1 a.m. We live next door to each other. And you're like knock knock knock. Hey, Mr. Caddy, you know like that. I'm like yeah, I like. Hey man, what's up? He goes, I have a rash. He goes, here, here, and here. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what did you just do? Like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I need to call the, and I was like, okay, I'll go to the store. I will find you stuff for that rash. Holy crap, this is the weirdest. It was so just like, oh my gosh, I did not think that was going to happen. Like, it was so quick. It was just like, bam, bam. And I was like, oh boy. So I like called my boss, like, hey, I want you to know this happened. I'm going to like get him some stuff and I'm going to go back to bed and let's never speak of it again until 5 years later at a random bar in Dayton, Ohio. So, yeah. how do you make a woman happy? Don't be an idiot. And ask her out. Ask her out, for the love of God. Like, get rejected, please. I mean, come on. Live a little. Does it get easier to listen to God when everything is like falling apart? What can we do to ease the process? It doesn't. It doesn't. It just kind of depends. I got dumped a lot. I'm not kidding. Not really. Not a lot. Twice. And I remember my school and in college has this thing called the port. It's this beautiful like adoration chapel. It's very cool. And I was going through like. Everyone always has like a friend who gets dumped really hardcore, and I decided to be that guy. I was like, I'm going all in on this. I'm gonna like, you know, be like, what is the meaning of life? We did it for 3 months, and now it's over with. I was in love, and it took me 2 years to get over it. And I remember just being like, God, just send someone here to help me, and it was just like a whole lot of nothing. And everything I asked of God, he was like, nope, because you need to grow up, Luke, and like so like really like it's like it's time to grow up. That's what I think. That's how God used that. Was he's like, it's time to grow up, and I was like, no, it's not. So it dragged out for a long time. But so sometimes like there is a conflict where it's not math. Okay, so it's not like I do this and then I get that. That like does happen because there is like reason and there is, but sometimes it just takes time. There was one of my best friends in school is the exact opposite of me. He's handsome. He had a practical major. He went to class. He saved his money. He didn't get too attached. And any time I was going through like a hard thing with girls, which was about once every 3 months, Adam would like, I remember being in a church out in Europe, long story why we were there, but we were all there. And I'm like, God, Adam's going to be here. Like, isn't he? And Adam just like shows up out of nowhere. And I was like, I'm having a hard time. And he's like, oh God. Okay. Like being attracted to her doesn't mean you're in love. It took me about 27 to get that like right. Then I was golden. And I was like, being single is great. What the point of that? Okay, so I knew in certain things how God was going to work and how he wanted to like speak to me. And that only really came through going in there and like actually like doing it. And so it, like anything, sometimes it just takes time. And you'll start to see how God talks to you. And that's what really eases it. I want to make sure that I really like, especially when things start to fall apart, you just have to do it. And sometimes I'm not saying tell God that you hate him. That wasn't a good thing that I did that. What was good was that I was like, this is bad, right? Like I'm not insane. Like this is bad. And getting to that point where I'm like, hey, this is broken. My back is broken. This thing, like whatever. Like my heart is broken. My dreams are broken. We need to acknowledge that, and then we need to get up off our mat and walk. And that's hard, and that takes time, and that takes trust. And I've often wondered what happened to that guy after the fact. Did he get paralyzed again? Was he healed again? Was it an ongoing thing? Was it one time and like he was done? I don't know. But keep struggling. The greatest thing a priest ever told me when I was having one of my patent, like Luke Fitz, was to keep struggling. And that changed my life, that whole thing. So, like, live in that tension and bring God there, but always be trying to push towards healing. And sometimes you have to fake it just until you make it. And time actually helps. It's kind of crazy. So, good question. Do you think I love where this is going. Do you think the bubble of Steubenville impacted your perception of the post-graduation world? How? Yes. Yes. Very, very much so. Okay, so first, because it's being recorded, I love that school a lot. Like a lot. Like too much. Like I cried when I left. Like it was hard. There's this thing in the church in our world right now that I am obsessed with called the Anima Technica Vacua. I'm almost ready to have like a tinfoil hat when I talk about it. I am obsessed. I'm not going to go like into it too deep, but it's basically it's this. At its core, it is the separation of like grace and nature. So it's or theology and philosophy. And what tends to happen is I think we basically isolate God and then we isolate the rest of the world. So we don't see how God can actually impact my own life. And then in the world we only see God as this cute thing that like my weird cousins into. And the weird part about some of our Catholic like stuff that we're in is we tend to isolate grace. So it's just all about quote-unquote, like, it's about, quote-unquote, God, but not about the real world. So I think where I had a hard time without it at school was I was very well catechized, but I was not prepared for, like, life. I didn't have what I would call, like, a human formation while I was there. And I think this is true of a lot of the bubbles that are like out there. We just make it about like the faith, but it's more about ideas as opposed to like my real lived day-to-day like life. And that's why I think having a thing like a plan is so important. And that's where the hard part is. It's that we think that, oh, I'm like with this girl because it's what God wants. It could be, or because you have like hormones, and it was springtime, and she looked good, and you started the date, and God was like, cool, have fun, don't be an idiot. Oh, you're an idiot. You know, and then we're like, why, God? When he's like, because you have free will. Like, you know, I mean, like, we don't acknowledge that, like, grace was upon our nature, and God wants to work in our lives, but you have freedom. Like, and that's where, and I really wrestled with that for a long time. What does God's will actually mean? And I think I wanted the whole, like, robot thing where just God be like, and now it's this, because I wanted to feel like safe. I didn't want to have to take a risk. I don't have to work for it. Like, if you're called to be like a doctor, God's not going to go, and now you're a doctor. Like, you got to go to like medical school and like work, and it's hard. If you want to be a principal, you either go to like, you know, grad school, or you become the principal of a really small school in the middle of nowhere. And it's hard, but it's like real life stuff. Does that make sense? And I think within our Catholic little things, we forget that, and we just make it about more of these ideas that we really, really like, but we're not really engaging it with our like real, with our own real day-to-day life. So does that make sense again? Abby, yeah? You're not even paying attention, are you? You're not even Abby. Not anything. Okay. What's the most awkward thing you have done on a date? Are you on good terms with your exes? Where did this come from? All right. Am I on good terms with my exes? No. Yeah. Like, sometimes you can find that. You can find healing. I think a lot of times, like, we want to find healing from our past like relationships. It really should be outside of the context of that person. Very rarely does like the like coffee thing ever like work. It's usually because someone there is like in a kind of a mood and wants to use the other person. Like, if I'm being honest, like, you know what I mean? Like read between the lines. Awkward silence after that. I have like patched things up, but other ones, like, what's the point? Like, we like there's like one ex-girlfriend where it like ended horribly. She sent me like 80 text messages because I was just like, I'm done with you. Like, this is just like too weird and it's not going to work. And it was like, I was like, this is why. And so I just never talked to her again. I was like, I'm good. Until I had a little bit too much to drink. Like 6 months later, I was like, you know who I need to call over and over again is her and tell her what I really feel. And it was not good. And like, so again, healing of those things, very rarely does that involve the other person. Very, very rarely. And I think you can become friends, but only really kind of after you like have that. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's not really a good idea because you just like, you like have a bond, you have a good click. There is like a reason why it did end. What's the most awkward thing I've done on a date? So I went on a date with a girl here. I didn't do this, but this is very weird. And she spent the whole time kind of like telling me things about herself that I was like, wow, you know nothing about me, do you? Like, I don't find people who like to do crazy things like that attractive. I go to Steubenville. It's very weird. And so it was so bad. And at the end of the night, she goes, do you ever smoke Black and Milds? And I was like, sure. And we just like sat in the parking lot of the Krispy Kreme over on Dorothy Lane and smoked like a Black and Mild. And it was just like the tobacco. It wasn't anything bad in it. And I was like, this is the worst date I've ever been on. And it's like, and this is like the trashiest thing I've ever done on a date. And we are never going to talk again. And we didn't. And she is now known with all my friends as the Black and Mild chick. So yeah, that's a true thing, happened in 2002. Do your 20s ever stop being insane, or do you just turn 30? Yes, like it, especially like when you're, I love, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it doesn't ever stop because life doesn't stop. There is, you won't ever cross the goal line. You don't ever spike the ball. You die. And then like, hopefully things go relatively well for you after that. Like, you don't ever hit a point where you're like, and I've done life, everyone. And I'm like, woo, life. Like, it doesn't happen. Like, I mean, there are like ways where I have grown in such profound ways, and there are ways when I have like gone back to being like an immature 12-year-old boy. It doesn't ever stop being insane, but it does get better if you try to grow. If you try to grow as a person, if you try to be more mature, like I'm kind of at the point right now where I'm like, I can't have any more than 2 drinks a night or I am exhausted. Like, I just can't, for the most part, I can't do that anymore because that's, if I kept doing that, it'd be kind of sad. I've done that the past 2 weekends, but there's context. I was on a conference and we like had a bunch of like wedding stuff for people who were getting married. We were all like hanging out. Why am I trying to like, I'm gonna justify myself to all of you? I don't care what you think. So like again, like just like trying to grow in real and practical ways, really trying to form good habits, things like that, super important. Okay, do you suggest particular books, talks online, catching foxes, prayers, or like other media? Catching foxes that could help someone in the a desperate position you were in to come to terms with their situation with God. Father Mike Schmitz, his videos are phenomenal. I suggest you guys check them out. He's awesome. He was great. Check out those things. There's a book that I like read that really helped me out. Called The Spirituality of Struggle. The Spirituality of Struggle. I don't remember who wrote that, but that really helped. There's a book like Relevant Books. This might not be around anymore. They're the ones behind Relevant Magazine. They have a book about just getting through your 20s that for me was really helpful. It kind of just helped me have a plan for a bit and just like really hash those things out. So just really try to find, there is stuff out there. You just kind of like have to try to find it. Matt, if you struggle with certain like pornography or those other things, find Matt Fratt's stuff. Tell him that like I sent you and you're good. Other good podcasts, Catholic Stuff You Should Know is the best one hands down by far. Ours isn't bad. So I hope that helps. Don't go to EWTN. There's probably anything good on there. I'm just kidding. It's fine. And I'm just malgriming a royal for his whole, like, you know, what young people know about God. And I was like, oh, it is on. Good sir. That's the joke again. What is an example of a fun date night in Idaho? Going to the one Chinese restaurant in an hour and a half of radius. That's about it. Okay, is it good to go to church sometimes? Okay, cool. So how does... I see what the person's saying. So like going to church. Okay, let's talk about this. The sacraments elevate and they like also like heal. So going to Mass is like very, very awesome and very, very good. Especially once a week. On a select day. Like, seriously, go. Like, do not deny yourself God's grace. I used to kind of skip it sometimes because I wasn't raised to go every week, and I was like, oh, I'm tired. And I was like an idiot when I was young because I am a carry. We're very dramatic. I told a priest that I, like, skipped Mass, and he's like, do not deny yourself God's grace. I was like, oh, that's a good line. That is a good line. And now I finally used it 13 years later. So go. But then I really think going during the week is great as well. If it works within your schedule. And here's what I mean. Like, don't try to build. Don't try to, like, make God fit into your schedule. But also don't be, like, unrealistic. Okay? So here's what I mean by that. I think it's very important that you have a personal prayer life and you really develop your like only relationship with God. I think it's of paramount importance. And if it comes to that, if your only like option is to like pray or to perhaps go to Mass during the week, I would recommend, especially early on, pray. And then if you have time, do try to like go to Mass like once or twice a week as it like, you know, like build, let God drive your schedule. But have your schedule be practical. Does that make sense? So like, don't, you need friends. You need community. We need less weird Catholic people. And like, hanging out with people helps you be less weird. And we're all weird because we're trying to be Catholic, and it's freaking hard. Okay? So don't like isolate yourself because you want to be able to go to Mass. Does that make, because like, you're denying the world you. And that's very, and that, and you're really denying yourself the chance to be formed as a person. Because the best way to like be formed is to really freaking hard crap. Like, that's where it happens the most, is when things are terrible and you're trying and God is there with you. It's when the cross, like, don't let a fear of the cross prevent you from like living your life. Don't rob other people of you because you don't want to get hurt. That's why I get so annoyed when guys don't ask out girls, because it comes from like, what if she like says no? Who the hell cares? Like, you're the same person. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm really passionate about this, if you really can't tell. So if you like don't have a girlfriend and you're like here tonight, Abby's right there. Go and get her number. Okay? Like it's not that, like, don't be afraid to like ask someone out. Anyway, I'm really passionate about this. Life is super fun when you're like in crazy relationships. It's a blast. Like, how did we get here? I don't know. We talked about the worst thing that happened at school that I would never tell to a group of strangers, and I did. I threw all my exes like under the bus. There was one. All right, so if somehow you were like, this is great, I want to hear an hour of this at least once a week with this other guy who's a complete like, narcissist. Catching Foxes is a podcast I started out of pure desperation because I thought my life was like over at the age of 32. And I was like, I need a podcast where I can just say whatever the heck I want. And so me and my buddy, his name is like Michael Gormley. He goes by Gomer. If you went to a Steubenville conference in the past 15 years, he probably spoke at one. We talk about the intersection of faith. We just talk about like life, and it's been really cool. We have like great. We've had some awesome guests on there: Matt Frad, Father Mike Schmidt, Leah Amadero, the guy from like Under Oath, who was a cool Christian emo band back in the early aughts. A lot of things that like I care about that like are like main demographic don't, but like, oh, it's actually kind of cool. So. Catchingfoxes.fm, iTunes. If you think we're awesome and you want us to like keep it going and allow me to like quit my job and do it full time, thank you. I love you. Patreon.com/CF. Yeah. Thank you guys. This was awesome. God bless you. Dayton, Ohio freaking rocks. It's amazing. It's really great. I'm seeing this year. I didn't stay home because actually, like, when I was right out of school, I promised that I'm done, Abby. I like hung out with the Catholic group, and it was like just very odd, and I was like, I can't stay home, and it really like I'm sucked. So to be able to be here tonight with like a group of like really cool people who are trying to like live their faith in like real like ways here in Dayton, I'm gonna start to cry. This means the world to me. It's like the greatest thing that I've ever done. So I'm not saying that the quality was good, but for me, this was awesome. Like, this sucked. Let's be very honest here. But this has been very cool. Thank you guys very much. Go to Dorothy Market and get a killer brownie tonight, and look for my picture on the wall. Thank you guys. God bless you all. Thank you.